But there is absolutely no stopping Songbird. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field.
Six.
And Coach Zipper is pulling away impressively.
Five.
Mucho, macho man, the more they ask, the more he gave.
Four.
And it's a vintage performance by Vino Rosso in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Three.
Here is our king to win it in an absolute shocker.
To the sport, American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
One.
Arrowgate still coming. California Chrome. Arrowgate steals the show in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farms. Now, let's go live to Del Mar and join host Bobby Newman.
Good morning on an overcast morning here in beautiful Del Mar, California. We're here for day two of the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms. Bobby Newman alongside my co-host. We are staring directly at the racetrack here at the beautiful Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. You can't see a lot of sky right now, Jude, as it's the typical morning fog and overcast that we get here in Southern California this time of year. Temperature right now somewhere around the high 50s, maybe 60 degrees, but going to be great weather when we get to Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday, probably closer to 70 both of those days.
Yeah, it'll be nicer this afternoon, too. About 1 o'clock, the inversion layer wears off, and everybody will be out on their surfboards and all that jazz. So it'll be fun.
We are actually sitting directly facing the racetrack here at Del Mar, right smack between the 16th pole and the finish line, which is a great spot to see a lot of the Breeders' Cup entrants go by and getting their final preps. And we're not going to see horses working out, although we did see one yesterday with classic hopeful Stiletto Boy actually going 52-1, breezing 4 furlongs, which is pretty rare for this close to race day. But most of the other ones, we're seeing them just kind of stretching their legs. We'll see a lot of them going past us underneath the tunnel through the grandstand to the paddock area to school there. Love to get to see these European shippers and their processions come out. We've actually seen several of the Euros stretching their legs on the turf course this morning.
Yeah, that was cool. There was a couple horses that were galloping down on the temporary rail, and a rider came through, breezing but galloping pretty fast, and yelled to get him out of the way, and they moved over. And Adaria, she looked fantastic this morning galloping. Did you see her?
She was a strong gallop this morning, and of course last year's Breeders' Cup filly and mare turf champ. What I think they're instructed to do on the turf course is pretty much stay as close to the outer rail as they can be. They've got cones set up pretty much halfway out the turf course, so that they're not letting anyone really gallop down on the inside. And of course, today is actually opening day at Del Mar, so they will be racing on the inside. I believe they have turf races scheduled these next 2 days as well. So they've got, you know, where the Breeders' Cup will be run, which is way down on the inside, they're not going to be working. I don't even think they're going to be racing. They'll probably have the rail out a little bit for these first 2 days. But the workers, they stay close to the cones if somebody's really galloping strongly. But the ones who are just kind of stretching their legs, I think they're instructed to stay on the outer rail.
Yeah, they are. And that's the way it usually is. But for a lot of these European riders, they come in here, they're not used to having that restraint. They're galloping horses in fields, and, you know, it's not necessarily the way we do things here. So it's tough. Plus, the horses are going the other way. They're going left-hand instead of right-handed. So it's tough for some of them.
They just had a little bit of a renovation break, and now the renovation is done, and we can see a big gathering of horses coming onto the racetrack. The barn area here at Del Mar is directly on the other side of the racetrack, so the horses will come onto the track somewhere near about the 6 furlong shoot point, and we see a lot of them kind of already backtracking. They're on the clubhouse turn on the outer rail and making their way over towards. We just saw a horse working.
Yeah, that was a Bob Hess coming down the lane there.
Right, not a Breeders' Cup horse.
No, just an undercard horse. And looks like another one here. That's...
We see a few of them, but we see a lot of other horses kind of backtracking, so we'll keep you up to date on what we see as they go by us this morning. We did have some news, Jude, yesterday after our show, and it involves the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. It was a race that was only a field of 6 to begin with because Gamine seemingly scared everybody away, but now it's down to a field of 5 as long shot hopeful Estilo Talentoso was scratched out of the race, apparently a problem with her right foreleg.
Yeah, they said she came up a little off, and you know, that's unfortunate, especially this week. You certainly don't want anything to go wrong if you're a trainer or an owner, but, you know, got to take care of the horse. So she's out. That's good.
So now the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, which is actually the first of the Saturday Breeders' Cup races, is down to a field of 5. By the way, interesting to note right now, Hot Rod Charlie has just come onto the track. He's in front of us, and he's being ponied by Lava Man, the ageless Lava Man. They just literally came to right in front of us, turned around, and now are going to start going the correct direction on the track. Hot Rod Charlie's made a good appearance every morning here in Southern California. Tripoli going to be coming on the track. Here's Royal Flag in the distaff. Chad Brown, hopeful, in front of us. My sister Nat is following her. So we're starting to see once again with this this second set of, in fact, it's probably the third set of workers, a lot of these, a lot more of the Breeders' Cup runners coming out.
Yeah, it's very difficult. You can see on the big screen here to even see some of the horses galloping because of the fog, but the ones that are coming by us, there's Kamari. She's a fast filly. Boy, she looks like a quarter horse.
Kamari coming out in front of us, and we really have a tremendous vantage point. We need to find out if we can sit here during the during the races every day. This may be the best seat in the house.
Yeah, this is a pretty good spot.
Right now, back to Estilo Talentoso, though. Even though she was going to be a long shot in the Filly and Mare Sprint, and probably not a lot of people thought she was going to win, it wasn't like she was running poor races going into that. She was only a few lengths behind Gamine the few times she ran against her. She was only 3 lengths behind CC, and these are the major players in the race. So she's not beating those really tough fillies and mares, but she's not far behind them. And the fact that she's out of the race, well, it takes a closer out of the race, and it makes it down to a field of 5. And that's important even just from a wagering standpoint. Remember, there are 3 pick 5s this year. In the Breeders' Cup, they have the traditional early pick 5, the traditional late pick 5, but they have a middle pick 5 as well. And by the way, Kentucky Derby champion Medina Spirit now on the track and wearing the very easy-to-spot Bob Baffert colors, those blue and yellow checks that he's had ever since he trained quarter horses many, many years ago.
Yeah, back in the day for Dutch Masters.
Dutch Masters. I remember a lot of Kip Didrikson, Bob Baffert duos at Los Alamitos as they were trying to chase down Blaine Schwanevelt and James Lackey.
That's right.
Folks, Horse Racing's World Championships are here. You can bet the Breeders' Cup risk-free with TVG. That's right. New TVG players can get started with a risk-free bet up to $300. That means you'll get up to $300 back if your horse doesn't win, and that happens to us a lot. The TVG app is so easy to use, it gives you all the tools you need. You get access to free picks, analysis, and wagering advice from industry experts. The Breeders' Cup takes place Friday and Saturday, so now is the perfect time to give TVG a shot. Just sign up with the promo code HRRN for your chance to bet risk-free up to $300. That's promo code HRRN to place your first win bet risk-free exclusively on TVG.com/HRRN and the TVG app. Reminder, age, residency, and other eligibility restrictions apply. New users only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires after 30 days. See terms at TVG.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We've got a big show this morning on the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillendale Farm. Isabella Leslie from America's Best Racing will be joining us to talk about their upcoming Fan Choice Awards. Owner Jeff Bloom from Bloom Racing Stable, who famously had the great filly and mare Midnight Bisou not long ago. We'll send out Snapper Sinclair in this year's Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Trainer Cherie DeVoe will join us. She's going to have her first Breeders' Cup runner, Tarabi, in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Pete Miller, who seems to win about every training title here at Del Mar, he's going to have a big weekend as well. He's got five runners set to go in the Breeders' Cup. Jockey John Velasquez, well, he's going to even have a bigger weekend. I think he rides almost every race, both Friday and Saturday. He'll join us as well. When we come back from break, we'll be joined by Walker Hancock, the president of Claiborne Farm. Their stallions represented by several runners, both Friday and Saturday. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms on HRRN.
There's a corner of Kentucky in Bourbon County, which some refer to as the Promised Land. There's something in the soil and water that make it something special. So special that some of the world's greatest horsemen have staked their claim in the soil just outside of Paris. Iconic names such as Claiborne, Coolmore, Stone, and Darley grace the fence lines which have housed champions for generations. The name Alapa shines as a tribute to the Gilded Age, sharing the stature and grandeur of its neighbors. Born from the wealth, passion, and imagination of Edward Sims, no expense was spared to fulfill his vision. Sims was in the same league as John Madden and Arthur B. Hancock Sr. as a commercial breeder. The torch has been passed. Welcome to Hillendale at Alapa.
Coming this November, it's the America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards. Covering the best of the sport and lifestyle, all decided by the fans. Here's your chance to vote. The America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards.
Where did Essential Quality, Latruska, She Dares the Devil, CZ Rocket, Silver State, and several others begin their journey to the Breeders' Cup? Oaklawn, of course. Put your horse on the path to success at the richest winter race meet in the country, now starting even earlier on Friday, December 3rd. Make plans to be part of an exciting 66 days of racing through Sunday, May 8th, and be sure to go to oaklawn.com to book your hotel rooms. Oaklawn, Arkansas's only racing casino resort.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front. And nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love listening to my friends on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
Zenyatta now hooking to the grandstand side, and Zenyatta is now coming with a run, looking at Lucky Flame. Flame on the inside, Flame gets the lead. Zenyatta on the outside, looking at Lucky Flame.
Trevor Demon on the call of the 2010 Breeders' Cup Classic at Churchill Downs. A tremendous stretch battle between Blame and Zenyatta. Jude, as track announcers, we are not supposed to be rooting for horses. I think you could tell in Trevor's race call the utter disappointment he had when Zenyatta could not get up to beat Blame. There was just a big exhale from the crowd. But our next guest is somebody who's very happy about the result of that race, and that is Walker Hancock, the president of Claiborne Farm, where Blame is one of their stallions. Walker, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, now, did you know Blame was coming to Claiborne before that race?
We knew that was going to be his last race of his career, yeah.
So the moans that we heard in the crowd were not coming from the Claiborne folk.
They were not. And, you know, everyone was looking at us like, how could you guys possibly be cheering right now? A little bit, we know we own the horse. But, yeah, everyone just, I'm surprised just people didn't start throwing things at us.
I was cheering. I bet on Blame.
You guys talk about, like, when they hit the wire, it was just like, boom. The energy just went out of the place.
Yeah.
There was so much leading up to the race.
I've been to the races a couple times, like when Birdstone won. That was like, it was from total excitement to like a morgue. I mean, it was just so noticeable. I don't know if you were there that day.
Yeah, no, it was like a funeral. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zenyatta got her revenge on the Breeders' Cup next year, though, winning the Breeders' Cup Classic. So it wasn't that she walked away and had to empty-handed, but her lone defeat did come to Blame, who is standing at Claiborne Farm. Claiborne represented by three runners both Friday and Saturday this year in the Breeders' Cup. And you guys are going to stand Silver State in 2022, so a little bit of rooting action in the Dirt Mile as well.
Yeah, yeah. We have some stallions represented. We have three from the farm that are, were born and raised represented. And, yeah, Silver State's coming to the farm after he runs in the Dirt Mile and hopefully wins on Saturday.
By the way, he's got
a good chance.
I think so, too.
We got to see Essential Quality is now on the track in front of us. We've seen Tarnawa, last year's Breeders' Cup Turf winner, go by. Tarabi, Koala Princess, Armor, Only You. Really a nice procession, but Essential Quality just standing right in front of us as he makes his last few preparations for this year's Breeders' Cup Classic. Let's talk about the horses that are represented, that your stallions are represented by in this year's Breeders' Cup, including Tarabi, who we did see on the track just about 3 minutes ago. And we're actually going to speak with Cherie DeVoe, trainer of Tarabi, a little bit later on this morning's Breeders' Cup Countdown. You know, when your stallions are represented, I know you're rooting for these horses to win, but from a business standpoint and looking at, you know, stud fees in the future, how important are these races and these outcomes?
Oh, they're hugely important, you know, especially for younger sires. I mean, for Samurai's a little older, it'd be great if Tarabi could win, but he's a little more established. But someone like Run Happy, especially following Seaward to win the sprint, that would do wonders for him. Give him a first crop Breeders' Cup winner is huge. You know, even a horse like Silver State, if he were to win the Dirt Mile, you could certainly stand him for more money because he'd have a lot more attention and hype involved coming into the farm. So, yeah, it's ginormous. Obviously, Warfront has three or four innards. So, you know, he's well-established, but we could always use...
he's pretty famous.
Yeah, yeah. We could always use a couple extra Breeders' Cup winners, that's for sure.
Never hurts, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Your man Bruce Lunsford gave First Samurai a good plug yesterday on the show. He was a guest on the show yesterday.
Yeah, no, he's a solid sire. I mean, every time you look up, he's always has some big races. So.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the website for Claiborne Farm, and it lists the stud fees for all the horses. When are these established each year? How far in front of the breeding season?
Well, we've announced our stud fees for next year about a week or two ago. The TBD was Silver State, obviously, because he's still yet to finish his racing career. But, you know, obviously, if Warfront were to have maybe two or three Breeders' Cup winners, obviously, we listed him at 100. He certainly wouldn't be standing for 100 if that were to happen. So going back to your previous question, you know, if it means a lot when a horse can get a Breeders' Cup winner.
Yeah, you guys, I mean, have the greatest tradition of raising thoroughbreds. And, I mean, one of the highlights of my life was to see Secretariat in 1978, the first time I went to Claiborne Farm. And I'll never forget that day. It was amazing. And do you ever, like, walk around the place and just go, wow, this is crazy?
Yeah, I do. It's very lucky. I feel a great sense of responsibility to carry on the tradition and legacy and hopefully make my family proud.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I mean, it's your family, but still, it's, like, an amazing place. It's, like, I don't know how you balance that, but it's really cool.
Yeah, the graveyard, certainly, you walk take a walk back through time. You get a couple of Triple Crown winners, Secretariat, obviously. Some really breed-shaping individual stallions, Mr. Prospector, our lone Derby winner, Swale. So.
Yeah, it's so cool that people actually send flowers and stuff. I mean, it's really nice.
Yeah, around Derby time, Secretariat's grave is essentially a shrine. It's incredible.
Great. By the way, this is a little bit of a degenerate thing that I have going. So 1984, when Swale won the Derby, I was in high school, and back when there were answering machines and no cell phones and everything. And on my answering machine, I say, you know, This is Bobby Newman. Please leave your name, number, and a message. By the way, I like Swale to win the Kentucky Derby today. And I left that out for anyone, you know, my throng of one people who are going to call me that day and listen to that. But that was a good memory for me, Swale, in winning the 84 Derby. Speaking of Swale and those names, first of all, Claiborne long established as being the one-word name for horses that are involved, with the exception of 49er.
And Roundtable.
Okay, and Roundtable. So I think we're due for another two-word name.
We'll see, hopefully. We obviously have some nice two-year-olds we like, and yearlings as well. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, that was leading into what I was going to ask. You guys don't own a lot of the horses right now, but how do you decide on which ones you're going to keep for as far as ownership?
We have a great partner in Adele Dilshiner, and we pretty much race everything that we have with her, and that makes up the majority of our racing stable. Claiborne and ourselves, we'll keep a couple of fillies of maybe something RNAs that we quite like. We RNA'd two Warfronts colts, and we didn't want to sell them for what the market thought they were worth, so we're going to keep them ourselves next year. So our racing stable will be a little bigger, but, you know, obviously it's expensive to run a farm. A lot of salaries and fence work and road paving and expenses to keep up with. So we have to try and make some money somewhere, and certainly we do that with the sales.
Yeah, people don't realize. I was giving this speech the other day because, you know, you read people on Twitter, oh, they retire these horses, and all they're interested in is money. If you've ever written checks on a farm like I have, like you have, you know that you need money to make that go. And there's, like, you know, 100 employees, and everybody needs to get paid, and the horses need feed, and the vets and the farriers and all that. I mean, it's a constant train of writing checks, and people don't realize it. And so when somebody retires a horse, they need to get some money to keep the operation going. You guys have been doing it for over 100 years. So.
Yeah, well, you're right. You know, we have 100 employees, and a lot of families depend on us to feed their families. So we got to make sure they continue to get paid.
Right, absolutely.
When it comes to a stallion like Run Happy, who's only, had a stallion career for a few years right now.
Is that one word or two words?
Well, it's one if you're talking about the horse. First of all, how does it come about that he's at Claiborne right now? And, you know, he was such a remarkable sprinter, but his horses don't look like they're restricted to being one-turn runners. They look like they're capable of stretching out, at least being milers so far.
Yeah, the guys at Spindthrift and Todd will say they really do think Falling Sea will stretch out next year. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, he's extremely fast. But, you know, he's had a couple runners here lately that have won two turns. Kenny McPeak's Rising Star at Keeneland last weekend. Looks like he's probably going to be on the Derby trail, the real deal. And, you know, I think he can get a sprinter or a distance horse. You know, I know Laura Waller's always thought that Run Happy himself would stretch out, but he was just so brilliant going one turn. That's what they kept him doing for a while. But, you know, we're starting to see his offspring that they'll get that second turn as well.
Well, it's like Warfront. You know, everybody considers him a turf sire, but he gets plenty of dirt horses too.
Yeah, sure. He's got an Omaha Beach, won a Breeders' Cup race. You know, he had War of Will win the Dirt Classic in the Preakness. So, you know, he really got his start on the dirt. And obviously, he's piqued a lot of Europeans' interest, and they took him over there, and especially Coolmore have been great partners with him, and they've had a lot of success. So that's why he's kind of dubbed the turf sire. But really, he got his start on the dirt.
Talking with Walker Hancock, the president of Claiborne Farm, they're represented by three runners. Their stallions are both Friday and Saturday. In addition, they'll be standing Silver State at Claiborne next year in 2022, and he, of course, will have a big say in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. When it comes to a horse like Silver State or these horses that are, you know, announced going to be new stallions for the next year, is this something where you went out and recruited Silver State or they came to you?
I mean, we were obviously very interested in Silver State, especially after he won the Met Mile. He established himself as a serious stallion prospect. You know, we're love the Danzig sire line at Claiborne. It's been a lot to our farm, and we just hope that he can continue that. Obviously, we have Warfront and horses like War Will, but the more the merrier. So, you know, he nicks well with a lot of our mares. You know, we really identified maybe some Blame and Arch mares that we think we could breed to Silver State that would probably nick really well. And You know, we can't have all war front mares, so you got to breed them something different.
Is that when you see a horse who wins the Met Mile, it seems like the Met Mile is just one of those, like, two or three races right at the top where farms immediately are looking, you know, if you're a horse who's brilliant enough to win the Met Mile, beating the best of the best at that, in that specific race, it seems more often than not like they're jumping to get these winners.
That's what it's a stallion maker, right? Yeah, that's what they call it.
Premier stallion making race. You know, if you can keep your speed going a mile, you know, it means a lot. It usually correlates well with stallion success, you know, and people forgot he beat Nick Sko in that race too. So, you know, hey, I know. No, he by my standards, it was a solid field that Silver State beat that day.
Yeah, that was a good group. He's a nice horse. He really is. It's amazing he's not getting more attention.
I know. I'm glad. I'm going to bet him. So
there you go.
I hope he keeps getting overlooked.
Not only a great history as a farm manager, but a gambler as well. We like that.
Well, yeah. he's rooting for Todd Pletcher in the sprint with Following C, and he's rooting against Todd Pletcher with Life is Good in the Dirt Mile with both hands.
You got to keep an open mind.
There you go.
Well, Walker, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning. And, I mean, you couldn't get a better setting than this in a beautiful spot. We just saw a bunch more of the European contingent kind of go by in their procession. Japan was in that firing line. Love was in there. Pizza Bianca, Bobby Flay's filly, went out a little before them. Really a great spot. And you guys just do such a great job at Claiborne. We want to know, though, when you guys decide the next two-word name for a horse.
We just named a filly Stoner Creek the other day, so that's
really
big for us. Yeah, she's a curling yearling filly that we really like.
Oh, so now we're going to have to wait another 30 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if she turns out like Round Table or 49er, you're going to be in good shape. Walker, thanks so much for joining us, and best of luck this Friday and Saturday.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Walker Hancock, the president of Claiborne Farm, represented by three runners this Friday. Their stallions are three runners on Saturday, and they will stand Silver State for the breeding season in 2022. Nice of him to take time out of his busy schedule to join us this morning. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Isabella Leslie from America's Best Racing. They've got their upcoming Fan Choice Awards soon after the Breeders' Cup. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup World, or rather the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms on HRRN.
Nick Sallusto is your source for proving Grade 1 success at every level. Nick's full-service equine management company includes Thorough Stock Training Center in Morriston, Florida, launching the career of Grade 1 winner Bella Sophia, and Sallusto and Albina Bloodstock, specializing in sales representation, breeding, and private purchases, including Kentucky Derby winner Big Brown, Champion Caledonia Road, Grade 1 winners Mind Control, Arklo, Beach Patrol, and Violence, along with undefeated Greatest Stakes winner Cantharos. For more information, visit ThoroughStock.com. That's ThoroStock.com.
Champions are returning to Gulfstream for the championship meet starting December 3rd until April 3rd. Witness the best thoroughbred racing Wednesday through Sunday with weekly stakes races. Returning for its sixth year this January is the 2022 Pegasus World Cup with world-class racing, delectable cuisine, stunning celebrities, and iconic fashion. New for 2022 is the third graded stakes race, the Pegasus Turf for fillies and mares with a $500,000 purse. Tickets go on sale November 8th. Visit PegasusWorldCup.com to learn more and get tickets.
The Adina Springs Stallion roster is loaded with classic bloodlines and classic performance.
Oh, the classy point of entry would not be denied.
Dynaformer Zaire Point of Entry, a global sire with black type horses in five countries, and the number one sire of Grade 1 performers in his crop. Multiple Grade 1 winner Shaman Ghost, the best son of Ghost Zapper, whose two-year-olds race this year.
And it's going to be won by Shaman Ghost. He has won the
Silent Name, the only son of Sunday Silence at Stud in North America, and Canada's champion sire 3 years in a row.
Silent Poet in front of the Neoptic, and this one's for you, Martha. Silent Poets won it.
And the newest addition to the Adina Springs roster, American Guru, from a proven winning family, steeped in tradition, with a strong Mr. Prospector influence on both sides.
But American Guru continues to keep on giving. And American Guru has dominated.
Classic bloodlines, classic performance. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Talking with Dr. Jim Chiappetta of Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, do the strips help with EIPH?
Essentially, all horses that work hard are vulnerable to EIPH.
As with any elite athlete, we are pushing performance horses to their physiological limits, and when we do, things can break. In this case, blood vessels in the lungs. Nothing stops EIPH. Only two things have been clinically proven to reduce EIPH, flare strips and Lasix. Alone or with Lasix, flare strips protect horses from EIPH.
Learn more at flarestrips.com/learn.
This is Chris Landeros. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
They're coming to the top of the stretch, and Flushing John is under a hand ride. He leads by a length and a half. Sunday Silence, a threatening presence on the outside. Easy Goer is sent down, and he's put to a fierce drive. Coming to the final furlong, Sunday Silence surges to the front. Flushing John trying to fight back. Easy Goer with one final acceleration, and Sunday Silence holds on, and he wins by a desperate neck. Easy Goer was too late, not enough to win it, and it was Sunday Silence in a racing epic.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 1989 Breeders' Cup Classic, where Sunday Silence for the third time that year got the better of his foe, Easy Goer. Sunday Silence, of course, beat him in the Derby, the Preakness, and the Breeders' Cup Classic. Easy Goer turned the tables on his home course at Belmont Park. Due to this day, there are still folks who argued that Easy Goer was better than Sunday Silence. That may be true, but three out of four times it wasn't.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely correct. And, you know, Sunday Silence went on to have a tremendous stallion career in Japan. He was a tremendous horse. I was able to see him a lot being the trainer in California. So it was nice hanging out with Charlie and watching him train. And he could really run.
Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld live from the grandstand at the beautiful Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. We are directly between the 16th hole and the wire, seeing a lot of the Breeders' Cup hopefuls on the track, and pleased to be joined right now by Isabella Leslie from America's Best Racing. They've got their big Fan Choice Awards coming up soon. Isabella, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Bobby. Yes, we're pleased to be here.
So for those folks out there that are not as familiar with America's Best Racing as others, tell us a little bit about what America's Best Racing does and about the website.
So America's Best Racing is really fan-based. So our goal is to get new people into racing and then continue them on throughout, you know, their racing journey and being able to learn and have access to tons of information. So as we all know, horse racing is a great sport for anyone, young, old. You can come in. It's a lot of fun. There's fashion. There's good betting, good food, good horses, all kinds of entertainment. So our goal is to get people involved, to teach them about racing. Whether you've never been to the track, you should be able to access the information that we put out there, and it should be able to help you, you know, understand what's going on at the races, even if you've never been before, never seen a racehorse, nothing like that. So we have really cool content on our website, you know, taking people from step one and showing them all the different things that are involved in the racing industry.
Yeah, it's really helpful to people that don't have much exposure to the track or live in states where there isn't much racing. And
exactly.
It's a really cool concept. You know, in the old days, it was just like you had to have somebody that went to the track to take you out. Your dad, your uncle, your aunt, your grandma, whoever it was that liked horses, and that was the only way to get exposed to racing.
But, for sure.
But now with America's Best Racing on Twitter all the time and, you know, the ads on television stuff, people have a chance to actually see what a day at the races is like, and, you know, chances are they're going to say, wow, that looks like fun.
And that's our goal. You know, I think a lot of people just see the Derby and they think that's the, you know, the big event and there's nothing else going on, when really there's so many other big things going on. So we try to, you know, educate people and show them where they can go and what to do and stuff like that.
Do you have any mentor programs or anything like that?
We do not have a mentorship program. There is one out there that just started through someone we work with, though, called Amplify Racing. They're just, you know, we try to help each other out. But there's a lot of content on our website for people that don't know, you know, have no for education in racing or really don't know anything, to be able to go on there and find places where they can get, you know, if they want to get plugged in career-wise. But we have a great learning base with, you know, goes down, explains terms of what you'd hear on the track about, you know, different saddles, bridles, or even certain type of races from allowance to claiming. And then we also have things on there about betting, the different types of bets from trifecta, exacta, you know, all the different pools and stuff like that. So there's a lot of information on there for people to learn.
The website is americasbestracing.net. I'm looking at it right now, and there's great stories on the website as well. It's not simply information on getting people involved in racing. I mean, there's stories. There's Breeders' Cup stories. I'm looking at a story right now about the great mare Teppan, who was trained by Mark Cassie, that won the Breeders' Cup mile back in 2015. So stories about what's going on these days, stories about maybe what's happened in the past. It's really very informational and very easy to navigate. Another thing you guys have going, though, in fact, something really exciting coming up is your Fan Choice Awards. Tell us a little about that, when they are, and how people can watch them, what this involves.
Absolutely. So we believe, you know, racing is, it's really important for the fans. So we created these awards to kind of give the fans a voice in all of this. So we have 11 different categories this year, and voting starts next Thursday, November 11th. And so basically you can go onto our website. We'll have links on all of our social media channels that, you know, get you right there. And you can vote for each category. And we have categories such as favorite jockey, favorite race call, TV personality, racetrack food, stuff like that. We also brought in three new categories this year, which are the legends, all-time favorite filly. So you were touching on stories that we have on our website, and we have a part of the website has a legends feature, and that has all kinds of stories about horses from the past and kind of brings those back to life. So that's where we were going with this legends favorite filly category. We also have a small to mid race circuit racetrack category this year as well, and then we have a favorite bet category, which is quite interesting. And the exciting thing is that four voters will be randomly selected to win a $1,000 gift card for Amazon. So all you have to do is go on there, vote, get your votes in, and then maybe you could come home with a gift card.
And this is open to everybody. The links, is there you sign up or is there a subscription needed for this?
No, totally free, open to anyone. Last year we had 10 categories and over 20,000 votes put in. So it's quite a big pool of people.
Okay, and you said the voting will start this coming Thursday. The links will be up, I assume, a day or so or that day. And
yeah, so voting starts next Thursday, November 11th, so okay, after the Breeders' Cup, and then it ends on November 29th, which is Monday right after Thanksgiving. And then we will have a live show that will stream on our social channels December 14th that announces all the winners.
That's cool. That'll be fun, huh?
It'll be quite fun, yeah. We're very excited about it all.
The favorite food at a racetrack, Jude. I don't know. That's a tough call. I mean, different parts of the country are going to vote for different things.
Right, yeah, because I would say, for me, the Manhattan clam chowder at Belmont Park would be my favorite. I never miss that.
Right, and but the folks who are out here on the West Coast may have never been to Belmont Park or may never eat Manhattan clam chowder. They may be looking for fish tacos from the brig.
Absolutely,
here at Del Mar. So
it's not something you'd imagine eating at a racetrack.
That's one of the reasons I like it, right? Because like everybody's having a hot dog and popcorn, whatever. But at Belmont, they have this fantastic Manhattan clam chowder, and I always go and get at least one bowl while I'm at Belmont.
I'm biased, so I go with the Keeneland Burgoo.
Oh yeah,
that's
another favorite. I had a friend who tried to set the record every year of eating more bowls of Burgoo. I think 49 was the most he ate in a total meeting. He was a crazy guy.
Well, speaking with Isabella Leslie from America's Best Racing, of course they've got their Fan Choice Awards coming up. The voting starts on November 11th, then goes through November 29th. December 14th will be the day that the winners are revealed. You might as well take a shot. You can get a $1,000 gift card.
That's right.
Just a random drawing there. Four people going to get gift cards of $1,000. We're sitting here overlooking the beautiful Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, looking at some of these Breeders' Cup horses coming out in front of us. Just saw a big European contingent go galloping by, and they do something different in Europe, but they do a lot of things different in Europe than we do here in the States. But they had four of their Breeders' Cup hopefuls, all turf hopefuls, galloping in a very tight pack in front of us on the main track. And by the way, Art Collector is coming out in front of us right now. Breeders' Cup Classic hopeful for Bill Mott and owner Bruce Lunsford. In fact, he just made a turn. He's going underneath the grandstand to go to the paddock for a little bit of schooling. Isabella, of course, the Breeders' Cup, a fun time for everyone. It's a busy time for a lot of us, but these races Friday and Saturday are a lot of fun. You as a fan, what kind of rooting do you do, or who do you like in some of these races?
You know, I really enjoy the European side of racing, the turf races, so that's kind of where that's the most exciting part of the next 2 days for me. But I don't know, it's really cool to see this caliber of horses all together in one spot and competing, something you don't see anywhere else. So
it's fantastic, and we've got horses from all over the globe this year, not only horses from America, from Europe. We've got a large Japanese contingent this year.
Yeah, very good this year.
They're very easy to spot in the mornings because they almost always have hoods on, like, you know, ear all covering their ears. It's like what Gate Dancer had.
Right.
Remember when he was, and it's very rare for the American runners to have that, but it's very easy to spot the Japanese runners because they are literally, their entire head is covered.
I always remember Cordero saying, Gate Dancer, crazy horse, crazy jockey, he used to say.
He was right on the second part. Well,
absolutely.
Isabella, once again, tell everyone once again where they can go to get all this information and more about when they can start voting for the Fan Choice Awards.
So it's all on our website, America's Best Racing, as well as our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram channels. We'll have everything you need to know on there. And just like you said, voting starts on November 11th, and it comes to an end on November 29th. And then we have our Fan Choice Awards live show December 14th.
All right, a lot of great information there. Once again, americasbestracing.net. I'm looking at the website right now. They've got great categories, great stories from things going on now, things from the past. I'm looking at, there's a gambling segment, there's a lifestyle segment, there's a Breeders' Cup dedicated segment. Really a fantastic website that's very easy to navigate. And the voting opens this coming, a week from Thursday, November the 11th, and goes through November 29th for this year's Fan Choice Awards. Isabella Leslie from America's Best Racing, thanks so much for joining us this
morning.
Thank
you so much for having me.
Really, really great stuff, and a lot of fun categories there, Jude.
Not
just the food. By the way, I don't think she was talking about us when she was talking about the glamour of the racetrack.
Yeah, I'm pretty much jeans and Hawaiian shirts.
lot of great stuff there, and glad that she took the time to join us this morning. It's a really easy website to navigate, americasbestracing.net. We're going to take another break. When we come back, get back out to the races. Owner Jeff Bloom's going to send out Snapper Sinclair in this year's Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He's going to join us on set in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms on HRRN.
Airdrie Studs Complexity, one of 2021's hottest new sires. Book full immediately in his first year at stud, the blazingly fast son of McLean's Music showed he was amongst his generation's most gifted runners when taking the Grade 1 Champagne Stakes at 2 in 134 and 3.
And Complexity's going to go every step of the way to win the champagne.
As a three-year-old, his 110 buyer speed figure when taking the Grade 2 Kelso Handicap was outpaced only by Horse of the Year Authentic's Breeders' Cup Classic of any race at a mile or more in 2020.
Denali Stud is a perennial leading consigner with three decades of raising and selling Saturday afternoon horses.
Qualified, search results, undefeated fillies, 1-2 down to the wire. Who's going to win it? It's Malathat by a neck.
Idol perfectly timed. Idol gets up under Joel Rosario to win the big cap.
Denali sold Kentucky Oaks winner and leading distaff contender Malathat and fold raised and sold Breeders' Cup Classic contender Idol. Denali Stud, where attention to detail is standard.
Champions are returning to Gulfstream for the championship meet starting December 3rd until April 3rd. Witness the best thoroughbred racing Wednesday through Sunday with weekly stakes races. Returning for its sixth year this January is the 2022 Pegasus World Cup with world-class racing, delectable cuisine, stunning celebrities, and iconic fashion. New for 2022 is the third graded stakes race, the Pegasus Turf for fillies and mares with a $500,000 purse. Tickets go on sale November 8th. Visit PegasusWorldCup.com to learn more and get tickets.
HRRN is your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Tune in on Friday, November 5th, beginning at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, and Saturday, November 6th, beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern, for total coverage of every Breeders' Cup race, live from Del Mar. The Breeders' Cup World Championships on HRRN. Hear it on Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming live online at horseracingradio.net.
This is Greg Foley, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
Stevens going to a vigorous left-handed whip, holding on by two. Goodbye, Halo is charging hard. Here comes Personal Ensign, unleashing a furious win on the outside, but it is still winning colors. Goodbye, Halo. Personal Ensign, a 16th of a mile from the wire. Winning colors is there. Personal Ensign, a dramatic finish, and here is the wire, and it is Personal Ensign there with winning colors in a photo. Very close at the 16th pole, it looked like Personal Ensign was facing her first defeat, but in those final 110 courageous yards, she certainly proved herself a champion this afternoon.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 1988 Breeders' Cup Distaff, or Personal Ensign, who looked like she was going to taste defeat for the first time in her career, came rolling home the outside, nailing winning colors at the line. She got, remained undefeated, retired undefeated, certainly one of the more memorable Breeders' Cup Distaffs that we've ever seen, right, Jude?
Oh, man. I mean, talk about a great race.
Well, it was a great race if you were a Personal Ensign fan. It was not a great race if you were betting winning colors that day, or if you were part of the Gene Klein and Wayne Lucas team.
I just don't know. How could you not be a Personal Ensign fan or rooting for her to be undefeated?
Well, you know, money speaks different ways to different people.
And, it's not about the money, though.
Well, that's easy for you to say that.
Yeah. The guy who no thief wants to steal his debit card.
Welcome. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld live here at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. Pleased to be joined on set right now by owner Jeff Bloom from Bloom Racing Stable. Of course, so powerfully campaigned the Great Filly Midnight Bisou over the last several years and is going to send out a Breeders' Cup runner this year in Snapper Sinclair. Seems like Snapper Sinclair, Jeff, has been running for 12 years. he just never stops, and he runs well wherever you run him. Sprint, route, dirt, turf, West Coast, East Coast, Midwest. And this is a dream horse.
Well, he really is, and Jude, like us old-timers in this business, he's just an old-school racehorse, right? I mean, he takes his track with him. He goes out there and trains every single day the same way. If it's a fast track, if it's turf, if it's dirt, if it's across the world, if it's, you know, next door, it doesn't matter. It's such a joy and a pleasure to be involved with a horse like this, and we hope it just keeps continuing because it's a lot of fun.
People don't know it, but Ben Jones was his first trainer.
Snapper Sinclair, 34 career starts going into the Breeders' Cup this year. He's banked over $1.8 million. Last time, this is what I'm talking about. So his last three races were on turf, and he's running in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. But he's run very well on dirt in the past. His last win actually came in the $400,000 TVG Stakes over at Kentucky Downs. He went wire to wire that day. I noticed that you've run several horses at Kentucky Downs, and Snapper Sinclair's actually run there a few times. It seems like it's beneficial, like a lot of horsemen use Kentucky Downs as a springboard to the Breeders' Cup. What's so beneficial about racing there?
Well, look, certainly the financial side of it, the economics, the purses are just too lucrative to pass up. And in terms of the types of horses and the quality of horses we've seen there in the last few years, sure, they were going after the money at first, but now it's shown it can be a great sort of setup to a number of races as you progress through the end of the year, including coming to the Breeders' Cup. And, Snapper Sinclair, he loves it there. He has a great affinity for that track. And what you find, horses that like it, because it's quirky, it's weird. You've got the undulating heel, you've got the right turn, and if horses like it, they love it. Snapper's the only three-time stakes winner at Kentucky Downs. So I'm trying to get Kentucky Downs to run a fall meet, a winter meet, a summer meet.
I don't see how they don't rename a stake after Snapper Sinclair.
Well, he's still racing, so they're going to.
There you
probably
go.
He could be the only horse to win his actual stake.
I like the sound of that.
That sounds good.
Speaking with Jeff Bloom of Bloom Racing Stable, sent out Snapper Sinclair in this year's Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. So speaking of the fact that he's coming off three straight turf races, including that win routing at Kentucky Downs. Last time out, we saw him sprinting down the hill in the Grade 3 Eddie D. By the way, I'm a big fan of the fact that they brought the hill back. I don't think it should have ever gone away. That's another story, but the hillside racing back at Santa Anita. So how do you settle on the dirt mile as the spot for Snapper Sinclair?
Well, if you look at his resume, his past performances, isn't it obvious?
Yeah, okay.
it's quite an eclectic listing of races there. I think, you know, we sorry, but I was looking at a loose horse there out on the racetrack.
Yeah, lots of bridle.
Yeah.
Not good.
Trying to get a hold of him. But to answer your question, we did cross-enter into both the dirt mile and the turf mile, and it was pretty obvious that the turf mile was going to oversubscribe. And really, some of Snapper's best numbers, if you look at his history of races, are on the dirt. So I think it was more a combination of, you know, certainly we think, you know, he runs just as well on the dirt, and the likelihood of getting into the turf mile wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, plus the dirt mile is maybe a skosh easier. I don't know if it is or not. I mean, Silver State just looked fantastic galloping by here. You know,
it's a tough heat. You've got Life Is Good.
Life Is Good. And I'm not saying it's an easy race. There are no easy Breeders' Cup races. But sure. I mean, you know, the other field's going to be huge. You're going to need to get the perfect trip and all that. You got a little bit better setup, a little better situation. Plus, as you say, his dirt races are good. So.
Yeah, you know, I think in the end, clearly, he's earned a lot of money on the turf at Kentucky Downs, but some of his dirt races have been equally, as if not more, impressive than some of the turf races. And when we shipped out here for the Eddie D, and he ran so well in that race, it was like, well, we're already here. Obviously, let's take a shot and see if he can jump up. And, you know, on any given day, Snapper's got it in him to possibly win a race like that. And he's beat some very good horses in his career.
He's a very cool horse. Back to Kentucky Downs for a minute. Do you think that configuration and the fact that there's an uphill stretch, it helps a horse's fitness as they finish out the year? Do you think it makes them better, you know?
Look, that's a good point, Jude. I think it can't hurt. You know, it does take – I mean, not only are they going uphill, but it's a long way.
Yeah,
I mean, watching it on TV is one thing, but when you're there live – and believe me, I know personally because I help my horses running down the stretch, and it takes a lot out of me running down from the top of the stretch to the wire.
That stretch, you think they're nearing the wire, and it seems like they still have like another eighth of a mile to go.
It's never there. Yeah. Yeah. It's an oasis. So,
turning for home in front there is no guarantee.
No guarantee.
It's a very fair race course, and you can win on the front end. You can win from off. You can win inside. You can win outside. Snapper Sinclair certainly seems to love it. He's going to run in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile this Saturday here at Del Mar. By the way, the loose horse, I think, still loose.
No, they caught him.
I think he's off the track now. Yeah, okay. There you go.
Okay, perfect. So glad that hopefully nobody got hurt. Certainly it looks like the horse.
Live radio as it's happening.
There's a race on. I thought it was Aiden O'Brien's horse.
By the way, she dares the devil now walking out in front of us, one of the Brad Cox contingent, and she's going to be a major player in the Distaff this Saturday. A neck bowed, and looks like she's happy to be here in these cooler conditions at Del Mar, which you don't usually see in the summertime, but for this fall meet, we get them. Jeff, I know something that's near and dear to your heart is the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance. Tell us what's going on. What's your affiliation with them?
So I'm on the board, the vice president of the TAA, and we're excited to once again be the official aftercare partner of the Breeders' Cup. So you're going to see the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance prominently throughout the Breeders' Cup with a few races that we're involved with sponsoring and presenting. And you'll see a booth stationed here during the course of the Breeders' Cup where folks can come and talk to people about what the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance does. And at the end of the day, it's all about looking after the welfare of these beautiful Thoroughbred racehorses. And so, you know, it's become the responsibility of all stakeholders in the industry, recognizing that when horses are done on the racetrack, they need a safe, viable follow-on career. And so what the TAA does is it handles all of the accreditation. So making sure that these facilities that we have throughout the country can take these horses and put them in a safe haven, both for just retirement and or retraining, repurposing these horses, and then raising funds in an equitable fashion so that you can distribute to these facilities and help them make sure that they can, you know, do things the right way to look after these horses. So this is, you know, the racing's showcase event. And so for the TAA to be the partner, you know, making all of those aware, it's a great opportunity.
Is there a like a pledge deal with Breeders' Cup where people could donate a part of the purse or that kind of thing?
Absolutely. You know, as I mentioned, you know, it's both accreditation and raising funds. So you can certainly visit the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance website and also get information here on track and at any time that we've had participants running in the Breeders' Cup that have generously pledged portions of their earnings to the TAA, which of course then gets distributed out to these organizations. So it's a great opportunity to take advantage of that.
Is this something where the TAA goes out to owners and trainers and continually provides information, reminder, you know, let's face it, not all of these horses are going to go on to be stallions or broodmares, you know, where you're going to owners or there's information very easily available to owners and trainers out there. They know that, hey, when, you know, this $20,000 claimer is done racing, we have a spot for him.
Well, the good news is racetracks have become great partners of the whole issue of aftercare. And so, like, for instance, here in California, you have Karma, who is one of the bigger organizations, you know, helping us afford that opportunity for aftercare and working with various farms and facilities that do this. So, yes, it's all about communication and connecting the dots for people to make sure that they know that there's an avenue, there's a resource out there available to them so that they can position place horses. And so we're constantly trying to get the word out and making folks aware with the TAA sort of sitting as an umbrella organization to help with all of that, you know, facilitating that process, you know, across the board.
Speak. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's not easy to do that. I mean, there's a lot of people involved, and you know, you have to make sure that everybody's on the same page as far as what we're going to do with this horse. You know, what the horse can do as far as athletically, if somebody wants to use it for a show horse or whatever, somebody wants to use a horse for a lawn ornament. I mean, I used to find spots for my old horses all the time before this was even popular. This
sure.
is 40 years ago, right? I had a horse that was a park ranger horse at Yosemite, right?
One he for actually, weddings and bar mitzvahs. Taking
yeah, that's,
photos.
That's right. Yeah, I had a lady wanted a lawn ornament horse. Right? She didn't know anything about horses, but she went to a class to learn how to take care of them. And
a lawn ornament horse. Wait,
yeah.
What?
I trained a horse for Vic Tabak called Honto. Right? He won here at Del Mar, and he pulled a suspensory, and he wasn't going to be able to be used as a riding horse. But he was a beautiful chestnut horse, big, strong horse, and she was looking for a horse to put in her front yard. She had bought a little farmette somewhere. So Honto had this great life. He had this lady that, you know, fed him carrots and took him, you know, outside for walks and stuff.
Honto found a beautiful home.
He found a beautiful home. Right.
Well, but you're right about that, Jude. You know, not all horses come off the racetrack the same way. Some have soundness issues. Some have various whatever issues. And so there are numerous facilities. And some places, their primary job or objective is they just they're a sanctuary for a horse that maybe can't necessarily be retrained or be used for a jumping horse or a show horse. So it does require a lot of money, and it requires a lot of due diligence on the part of making sure that we could talk for hours about how much went into accrediting and making sure that there's a very detailed, thorough process and checklist of requirements that go into becoming an accredited facility. And so the TAA oversees all of that process. And we have some wonderful organizations north of 80 throughout the country that are helping, with all of this. And we're constantly looking for more facilities. And again, at the end of the day, all of us who enjoy and are involved with the wonderful world of horse racing, it's our responsibility, because it is, in the end, all about the racehorse.
Yeah. Jeff, really appreciate you taking the time this morning. Not only did we get to talk about Snapper Sinclair and the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance and talk about Kentucky Downs, you got to hear the name Vic Tabak. If you stick around for the next segment, we'll talk about Linda Lavin and Polly Holiday and the rest of the cast of Alice.
What about Mannix?
Thanks for joining us, and really best of luck Saturday in the Dirt Mile.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Jeff Bloom from Bloom Racing Stable, of course, successfully campaigned the Great Filly Midnight Bisou up and over the last few years, sends out Snapper Sinclair this Saturday in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile here at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by trainer Cherie DeVoe. She's going to send out her first Breeders' Cup runner in her career as a trainer to Robbie, who's going to have a big say in this year's Juvenile Fillies. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
DeMarshall Yeh offers breeders a rare opportunity as the only son of emerging sire of sires, Dubawi, standing in Kentucky. His picture-perfect pedigree includes 9 Grade 1 winners under the first 3 dams. Dubawi and his sons and grandsons at stud have established stars on both turf and dirt. Now his first foals have arrived. DeMarshall Yeh, standing at Claiborne Farm.
And it will be Matole.
The level of racing that he's achieved is extremely rare. The quality fields that he's beat, that's what makes him the fastest horse in the world.
The final time was a new stakes record. Matole, he did it again! Matole's a monster! Matole wins the sprint! Oh, what a horse he is! The mighty Matole.
Look for Champion Matole's first weanlings selling this November.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, is the Brisnet.com call-in show. It's your chance to call in and let the Horse Racing Radio Nation know what's on your mind. Call us at 888-966-HRRN and discuss the topics you choose in the world of thoroughbred racing. The Brisnet.com call-in show, every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, on Sirius 219 and XM 201, or streaming live online at horseracingradio.net. The Breeders' Cup runs here, coming November 5th and 6th, exclusively on HRRN. This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
Wide, wide open at the top of the lane, but they are chasing Sunset Glow. Lady Eli now gets a break at the rail, and Lady Eli takes off along the inside. Lady Eli, electrifying turn of speed, gets the lead. Sunset Glow tries to battle back, but this is a scintillating performance from Lady Eli, star of the future. Lady Eli could not have been more impressive. Sunset Glow was second. Osala got up for third, and then Prize Exhibit.
Trevor Demon on the call of the 2014 Juvenile Fillies Turf, won impressively by the Chad Brown trainee Lady Eli. And our next guest was working with Chad Brown when Lady Eli won that Juvenile Fillies Turf, and she's out on her own now. We'll send out her first Breeders' Cup runner as a trainer and to Robbie in the Juvenile Fillies this year. Pleased to be joined on the Breeders' Cup Countdown by Cherie DeVoe. Cherie, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me on.
This is the first time that you're sending out a horse into the Breeders' Cup on your own, and you're sending out a filly who's looked very good so far in her starts, and she looked great this morning on the track. What's the difference coming out here on your own as opposed to, you know, part of the big group as an assistant?
As an assistant, your job is to put into play what the trainer is doing. Chad made all the calls, and we implemented the training as a team. And now as a trainer, you have to do it all on your own. So she hasn't been straightforward getting here just because we had a minor hiccup coming out of the spin away. So there's a lot more decisions that have to be made, a lot of calls. And so far, she's done really well with everything we've thrown at her.
A lot of people don't realize how hard it is to get a horse to the races and all the things that are involved in doing that. They think, oh, you just show up and you go down, you saddle your horse, you're all dressed up, you're going to win. It's not like that.
No, it's a day-to-day occurrence of managing any minor setbacks. You know, it can be anything from a lameness to sickness. They're just not having a great day. Something could spook them. They get cast. There's so many variables in this that people just, from the outside looking in, may not understand what we have to occur in a day-to-day training.
Yeah, and it just the life of a trainer is like never ending. I mean, you wake up early and you go to bed late, and you're on the phone with clients, and you've got all this stuff to deal with, and there's vets and horseshoers and all that stuff, and it always cracks me up when people just go, oh, why don't they shorten the time between posts, and, you know, how come it takes so long to get the horses saddled? And
it's always profound to me when I'm watching races, any day-to-day races, how much goes on from the participants in the race to the gate crew to the betting, to the tellers. There's so much that occurs that if you sit and you really look, it is such a well-oiled machine that we do this. And I know there are occurrences that happen that you read on Twitter and there's a delay in post or they're moving up post. The fact that it doesn't happen more often is astonishing.
And those of us who are playing the races, we get so mad when they don't run when they're supposed to run. And it's really amazing to get all these things to come together and actually get going at the scheduled time.
Yeah, I mean, we're old guys. You're way younger than us. But, but you know, I mean, I remember when there was one race on television on Saturday.
Right.
John Forsyth did the program. We watched it. My dad, my brothers, and I every Saturday. Now you can watch any race from anywhere. You can gamble on it if you want. I mean, we're so lucky that we have all this availability, and people are complaining, oh, well, two races went off at the same time.
Right.
Races were going off at the same time all the time. You just didn't get to see them.
Right, exactly. The fact that so much more is at our disposal. You can appreciate that. You know, as a gambler or as a spectator, as a fan, to be interested in watching the races. But each track has their own set of things going on. So, you know, it happens, and I don't think anyone sets out to do that. It just happens. Two races go off at the same time. It's the difference between all the horses loading in the gate at once or having a 30-second, 45-second delay because somebody won't load in the gate.
I think people get mad when it seems like they're holding them, you know, trying to let the last few minutes of betting action comes in and they run at the same time. People don't like the drag. If there's a problem at the gate or there's a problem with the horse, that's understandable. The drag people don't like. Bobby Newman, Jude Feld here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms, joined by trainer Cherie DeVoe. She's going to send out Tarabi in the Juvenile Fillies on Friday. Tarabi was super impressive in her debut at Ellis Park and then ran a very good race, finishing second in the spinaway behind Echo Zulu. And the comment in the past performances says, smashed gate. What exactly happened to Tarabi in the race and what happened after the race?
It seems like she just, when she came out of the gate, she was probably not balanced because she hit it coming out and lost her footing. So she spotted the field quite a few lengths and she caught right up. She's got a lot of speed. She caught right up, settled in, and made a run and flattened out just a bit at the end. But she was asked for so much in the beginning of the race to be able to get herself into a point of contention. So she exited the race with some minor scrapes, very superficial abrasions on her hind pasterns, really nothing out of the ordinary that happens. And the only issue with her is that they just didn't resolve. They were kept filling up, and we weren't pressuring ourselves to go into the Breeders' Cup. We were just trying to get her right from this issue. Initially after the spin away, you think, what's the next step? Are we going to go to Alcibiades? Are we going to go to the Frisette? But really, we were just trying to get her right. And it was nothing that was detrimental to her health, her soundness. It just, we couldn't train on with her. She was jogging in light training, but it just took us a while to get on the right antibiotic and a lot of time to let her body heal and resolve from it.
She had the misfortune of drawing the rail in both of her starts. She does not get the rail. She's drawing
it was the only post position. If she got the rail, she's well-seasoned for it. But I was hoping that she could get a different spot in this race.
And she did. She drew the four-hole. Now, it's a shorter field, too. It's only a six-horse field in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies this year. But she's off the rail, and we'll see if she can get out of the gate a little bit better on Friday. Cherie DeVoe, I know you spent 8 years working for Chad Brown. We heard the replay of the 2014 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf won by Lady Eli in our return from commercial break. And I know Lady Eli was a big project, and she had some things go wrong, and it took a lot to get her right and back to the races.
Right. And when you go through a situation like that, take the horse out of it. She was an amazing racehorse, and it was the same thing. You are presented a problem, and really in the beginning all you think about is solving the problem, getting the horse, getting her better, getting her in the acute stages, getting her to where she's out of the woods of any catastrophe. And then it becomes now quality of life, and then the discussions become back to training. And there are so many steps from A to B. To her to even set foot on the racetrack was an amazing feat, and for her to come back at the highest of levels is just something unheard of.
What exactly did she have to go through? What was the malady that she was dealing with?
Well, she stepped on a nail walking home from the Belmont Oaks.
Oh, she must be staying at the Residence Inn where I'm staying. That's exactly what I did the other day in my room.
I don't know. I should have drove my car in front of her because I seem to pick up every nail imaginable these days. But she stepped on a nail. It turned into laminitis, which we all know is a terrible disease or event that happens. And your deal in that, it's just so important in the acute stages to get it calmed down. And it has nothing to do, there were no discussions about her running. It was discussions of getting this fixed so that she was able to survive it. So, you know, you go through something like to this, and then you see where she ended up. And it's a lot of credit to the veterinarians, to the podiatrists, to the entire team when I worked for Chad. It's a testament to everybody working together. And Lady Eli, she was just amazing.
Trainer Cherie DeVoe spent 8 years working as an assistant for Chad Brown. Before that, she actually worked for about 5 years for our good friend Chuck Simon, and I let Cherie know that Chuck and I were roommates in college, believe it or not, which is true. And I texted Chuck. I said, I'm going to have your girl Cherie on the show. And this, I have to read this to you. The text says, ask Cherie about when she hit the groom over the head with the saddle.
No. Why can't he let it go?
Oh, you know Chuck. He'll never let it go.
No. Well, why don't we talk to Chuck about how his very first job was for my father on the racetrack as a standardbred, and I was 2 years old. So now he should just feel like an old fart.
Believe it or not, and this is not about Chuck, when Chuck was in college, he was a tall, skinny, athletic guy. He's still tall.
He's still tall.
He's still a guy. The other parts have kind of with all of us, they've gone different direction as we've gotten older. He's a great guy.
Yeah,
he's
wonderful.
And he has nothing but good things to say. And he wouldn't text that to me if he wasn't ever.
What did that dorm room look like?
I can tell you that I put a one iron through the wall after the Trailblazers did not cover when Kevin Duckworth and Clyde Drexler couldn't hit free throws in the late game one.
See, you're not that angry.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Cherie, really appreciate you taking the time. And, boy, Tarabi's looked great these last few mornings, seeing her on in the racetrack. Hope she gets out of the gate well on Friday. And you never know. I mean, she's only raced twice. There's no reason she can't continue to improve. And she really wasn't that far behind Echo Zulu last time out.
No, and it looks on paper, she is very rateable. She's very easy to ride, both in the mornings and in the races. So if she happens to get out of the gate a step slow, there's going to be plenty of, on paper, there appears to be plenty of pace for her to run into.
Yeah, the race sets up good for her. I like her. I think she's got a good chance.
Tarabi, post position number 4 in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies this Friday here at Del Mar, goes as the 7th race on the Friday card. Trainer Cherie DeVoe sending out Tarabi. It's her first Breeders' Cup starter on her own as a trainer, and she's winning races in bunches, clicking at about a 20% clip overall. So best of luck Friday, and look forward to seeing your horses run all winter.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Cherie DeVoe, joining us on the Breeders' Cup Countdown. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will speak with another trainer who's involved in the Breeders' Cup this weekend, Peter Miller. He's going to send out 5 runners in the Breeders' Cup races, and he's also excited about racing returning to Del Mar because his horses love it here where the turf meets the surf. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms on HRRN.
2-time Horse of the Year, Curlin.
Malathon! Back in the win column, and Clarier will win the Cotillion.
Known Agenda is now on to take over the lead.
Grace Adler, a scintillating performance.
Idol gets up under Joel Rosario to win the big cap.
The leading sire of Grade 1 winners with 5 and co-leading sire of greatest stakes winners with 12. Curlin, the classic sire, standing at Hillendale Farms.
Coming this November, it's the America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards. Covering the best of the sport and lifestyle, all decided by the fans. Here's your chance to vote. The America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards.
Champions are returning to Gulfstream for the championship meet starting December 3rd until April 3rd. Witness the best thoroughbred racing Wednesday through Sunday with weekly stakes races. Returning for its 6th year this January is the 2022 Pegasus World Cup with world-class racing, delectable cuisine, stunning celebrities, and iconic fashion. New for 2022 is the 3rd graded stakes race, the Pegasus Turf for fillies and mares with a $500,000 purse. Tickets go on sale November 8th. Visit PegasusWorldCup.com to learn more and get tickets.
Denali Stud is a perennial leading consigner with 3 decades of raising and selling Saturday afternoon horses.
Malathon, search results, undefeated fillies, 1-2 down to the wire. Who's going to win it? It's Malathon by a neck.
Idol perfectly timed. Idol gets up under Joel Rosario to win the big cap.
Denali sold Kentucky Oaks winner and leading distaff contender Malathon and fold raised and sold Breeders' Cup Classic contender Idol. Denali Stud, where attention to detail is standard.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Kendrick Carmuch. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network, HRRN.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
And here comes Roy H. Roy H. has circled up to take the lead at the top of the stretch. Right by Promises Fulfilled. Imperial Hint is trying to close on the outside. Then Distinctive Feed. Whitmore is making progress. Here he comes, Splitting Horses. Roy H. has got a big lead, though. At the 16th pole, he's four in front. Whitmore closes the gap into second as they come to the line. Roy H. does it again. He won it by four lengths under Paco Lopez. Whitmore was second, Imperial Hint, and Promises Fulfilled.
Larry Colmus on the call of the 2018 Breeders' Cup Sprint, won for the second time in a row by Roy H., conditioned by Peter Miller. Roy H., a brilliant sprinter. He won in 2017 here at Del Mar, won again in 2018 out at Churchill Downs. He wasn't favored, Jude, in either of those races.
Yeah, which is amazing because he was pretty solid, especially at that time.
And we are working to get Peter Miller on with us. He will join us momentarily. He's going to send out five runners in this year's Breeders' Cup events and perennially either the leading trainer or one of the leading trainers when they race here at Del Mar. Roy H., super spectacular in both of his wins, and we're pleased now to be joined by Roy H.'s trainer and trainer of several Breeders' Cup entrants this year, Pete Miller. Pete, welcome to the Breeders' Cup Countdown with Bobby and Jude.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
I saw you in the paddock schooling yesterday. You had Mo Forza in there.
Yeah. Now we're, we're doing the best we can to get these horses schooled and ready to go Friday and Saturday.
Pete, we're back on opening day at Del Mar. Of course, this is a place that is near and dear to your heart. You've won several training titles here at Del Mar. Your horses seem to love it when they get this home course advantage, not that far from San Luis Rey, where a lot of them train. But Breeders' Cup is a different time. You've got one horse in the Friday races, four of them in on Saturday. And is there a little bit of a different regimen that you have to go through when it comes to the Breeders' Cup runners here at Del Mar as opposed to everyone else in your barn?
Not really. Honestly, no. It's the same program. You know, we bring them down and train them here as long as we can. We have a barn here, you know, in the summertime during Del Mar and in the November fall meet. And, no, it's just kind of business as usual, just another race, just a bigger purse.
Well, that's certainly a factor, the purse money, but the prestige alone can carry you a long way. Some of these races really can make a difference if you're going to stud or you've got a broodmare or whatever. It's important to win these races when you can. You've done a great job of doing that. You have quite a few Breeders' Cup wins.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely, I don't want to understate the Breeders' Cup. It's you know, it's our Super Bowl and our World Series, and I've been fortunate to win five of them. But, you know, at the same time, you don't want to change what works, and you don't want to get out of your normal routine. So we're basically just trying to, you know, do everything that we normally do and, you know, get the horses as fit and sound and healthy as we can, and then just hope for good racing luck.
Talking with trainer Peter Miller, he sends out five runners in this year's Breeders' Cup World Championships, one of them on Friday, Time to Party in the Juvenile Turf Sprint, four runners on Saturday, Proud Emma in the Filly and Mare Sprint, Commander in the Turf Sprint, CZ Rocket in the Sprint, Mo Forza in the Mile. And speaking of those last two, CZ Rocket and Mo Forza, these are horses that have been around for a few years now. I know they're both near and dear to your heart. Tell us about their paths from where they were last year at this time to getting to this year's Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, well, you know, last year Mo was prepping, and he re-entered his suspensory, and that was really a tough pill to swallow, you know. But he's doing really well this year, and he loves Del Mar, and we've got you know, arguably the hottest rider in the world, Flavian Pratt. So, you know, I feel you know, maybe it's his year.
You know, he's a horse that just every time he goes out, he fires. And what's it like for you? Do you feel a lot of pressure when he runs? Because everybody always expects him to win.
Yeah, definitely do. You know, I got you know, the you know, he's won 8 of his last 9, and you know, he's got a legion of fans because. Barry Abrams, we all love Barry and miss Barry. And so you know, we've got that extra pressure. And, so yeah, it's definitely, it's a little nerve wracking every time he runs, but, you know, 8 out of the last 9 have turned out the right way.
Well, one thing I got to tell you, there's really no bigger Mo Forza fan than I know than Bobby Newman. I mean, he loves Mo Forza. So you'll be well represented on the radio for a big race.
Yeah, well, he's a great horse. He's awesome, and he's beautiful, and he's classy, and he's fun to watch run.
He's a horse that looks like in the stretch that his strides cover twice as much ground as everyone else's. I don't understand. Even that last race that he won out at Santa Anita, the City of Hope Mile, the pace was against him that day. They were going slowly. He looked like he had way too much ground to make up at the top of the stretch. And then he just decides to run, and that's the end of it. Now, on the other side of things, CZ Rocket has not always been, you know, a wonder from the get-go. In fact, this is a horse that you and owner Tom Cagle claimed last year and really turned his career around.
Yeah. You know, very fortunate. Tom picked the horse, and we claimed him. And, you know, he was a bad bleeder. And once we got that under control, everything else has fallen into place.
CZ Rocket has had a little bit of a different year this year than he did last year. Of course, he finished second in the Breeders' Cup Sprint to Whitmore last year. Came and turned the tables on Whitmore's home track at Oaklawn earlier this year, but he hasn't found the winner's circle since. He's not running bad races, seconds and thirds, but he's not winning as maybe a lot of people hoped he would. Has there been any sort of a difference? Or I've noticed that a lot of those non-victories have come in races where he doesn't get to run with Lasix. Is this simply a horse who needs that medication?
Well, he certainly, it's a hindrance not having it. And, you know, I really do think it's a shame for all the horses that they're trying to take away our only, you know, way to stop them from bleeding. But that's another story for another day. But yeah, I think the Lasix has been part of it, but also I think, the tracks out in California are very speed biased. You know, they're very deep and tiring, which makes it very difficult to make up ground. So they've been playing against him. I'm hopeful that, you know, the Breeders' Cup being here and it being fall and the weather cooler and days shorter, that it'll be more of a fair racetrack that'll give, you know, everyone a chance.
Let's switch back to Friday for a minute. Time to Party, very consistent. What's your impressions?
Yeah, he's a cool little horse. We bought him for not a lot of money at OBS. I don't know, 50, 70, I can't remember. And he tries really hard. He's got a lot of ability. And, you know, he ran a good second to One Timer, who I think is the second or third choice in the race. And we were kind of gaining on him. And he won, broke his maiden here at Del Mar in the summer. So, you know, I think, you know, it's a very tough race, and everything is going to have to fall into place, especially from the 10 hole. We're going to have to get the right trip, and everything's going to have to, you know, fall the right way. But I think he certainly belongs in the race, and he's doing very well.
Speaking with trainer Pete Miller, who sends out five runners in this year's Breeders' Cup. Pete, before we let you go, you mentioned that Flavien Prat is the regular rider of Mo Forza. He also is going to ride Time to Party. When you have somebody like Pratt, who's ridden so much for you and has ridden these horses many times, are you still game planning, or do you trust that he knows exactly where these horses need to be?
A little bit of both. You know, I definitely trust that he knows what to do and where to be, because he's extremely well prepared and reads the racing form very well. You know, at the same time, I don't want to just leave that to chance. So I definitely, you know, let him know what I see. And, you know, after that, you could just kind of say how the race looks to how it looks to come up. But, you know, once the gates open, it's really on the jocks to you know, work it out from there. So, you know, we'll just game plan a little bit, who's the speed, where we're likely to be placed, and then I'll leave it up to him.
Well, Pete, we really appreciate you taking the time this morning to join us. Not only do you have the Breeders' Cup coming up in just a few days, but, of course, opening day at Del Mar. And I know that's always a big day in the Miller household, and we wish you the best not only this weekend, but throughout the Del Mar meet and into the next year. Thanks for joining us on the Breeders' Cup Countdown.
It's my pleasure, guys, and have a great Breeders' Cup.
All right, you too, my friend. Peter Miller, trainer of several Breeders' Cup runners this year in the World Championships. He's got Time to Party going in the Juvenile Sprint on Friday, then four runners on Saturday, highlighted by CZ Rocket in the Sprint and Mo Forza in the Mile. Mo Forza probably going to be one of the favorites in that race. I think he's the second choice on the morning line to the Euro Space Blues, who's been ultra-impressive across the pond. But Mo Forza has a little bit of a home court advantage, Jude. He loves it here at Del Mar, and when he's good, he's very good.
And Del Mar is one of those courses where if you have an affinity for it, it really helps.
Now he's got to get the right trip. You know, you do everything you can in the morning with these horses, and you get them well prepared, and you know, you game plan with the riders, and then you just have to hope things fall into place.
Yeah, well, that's it. Racing luck. It's number one.
Yeah, it's a very common term. It's more important than, you know, it's amazing how we take for granted, you know, how hard it is to get the horses the trips that they need to have the best chance of winning.
Yeah, well, like we were talking with Cherie, you know, everything matters. I mean, it just never ends. Like, you have to check every box, and then you have to get lucky. Not only do you have to be well-prepared, but you have to get lucky. That's why it's so hard. That's why our game is so great, because you can't just do the work and get paid for it. You have to get lucky.
And let's face it, these are big fields. Not everyone's going to get the trip that they're hoping for in these races.
There's going to be a lot of sad faces. I was bitching one time about a trip that I had on a turf race at Santa Anita, and Charlie Whittingham said, "Son, you're going to have a lot of bad trips on the turf. Don't worry about it. Just go have dinner and come out the next morning." And he was right. I mean, I learned it was such a great lesson for me to not let it affect your day, because it's going to happen all the time. I mean, turf racing is tricky, and you can't get too upset if you have a bad trip.
We'll take another break, come back, more here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown. This is the world. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Where did Essential Quality, Latruska, She Dares the Devil, CZ Rocket, Silver State, and several others begin their journey to the Breeders' Cup? Oaklawn, of course. Put your horse on the path to success at the richest winter race meet in the country, now starting even earlier on Friday, December 3rd. Make plans to be part of an exciting 66 days of racing through Sunday, May 8th, and be sure to go to oaklawn.com to book your hotel rooms. Oaklawn, Arkansas's only racing casino resort.
The Adina Springs Stallion roster is loaded with classic bloodlines and classic performance.
Oh, the classy point of entry would not be denied.
Dynaformer Zaire, point of entry, a global sire with black type horses in five countries, and the number one sire of grade one performers in his crop. Multiple grade one winner Shaman Ghost, the best son of Ghost Zapper, whose two-year-olds race this year.
And it's going to be won by Shaman Ghost. He has won the Woodward.
Silent Name, the only son of Sunday Silence at Stud in North America, and Canada's champion sire 3 years in a row.
Silent Poet in front of the Neoptic, and this one's for you, Martha. Silent Poets won it.
And the newest addition to the Edina Springs roster, American Guru, from a proven winning family, steeped in tradition, with a strong Mr. Prospector influence on both sides.
But American Guru continues to keep on giving, and American Guru has dominated.
Classic bloodlines, classic performance. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
In 1993, Dr. John West showed that EIPH occurs during exercise when the blood vessels in the lung rupture. This is due to stress caused by high blood pressures on the inside of the vessel and strong suction forces on the outside. Only flare strips and Lasix, used together or alone, have ever been clinically proven to reduce EIPH. Lasix works by reducing the high internal vessel pressure, and flare strips work by reducing the suction forces on the outside of the vessel. See the science at flarestrips.com.
HRRN is your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Tune in on Friday, November 5th, beginning at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, and Saturday, November 6th, beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern, for total coverage of every Breeders' Cup race. Live from Del Mar, the Breeders' Cup World Championships on HRRN. Hear it on Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming live online at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is jockey Luis Saez. You are listening to HRRN.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
And Ali Sheba continues to pick him up on the outside with a dramatic run toward the leaders. They are at the corner pole here at Hollywood Park, and it is Giorgio Ruggiero on the outside. Can he go toward the rail? Ferdinand and Ali Sheba coming on from the outside. Good command is in behind horses. They're less than a furlong out. Giorgio Ruggiero is desperate. Ferdinand right there. Ali Sheba on the outside.
Bobby Newman and Jude Feld back on the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillendale Farm. Jude, I know there are a lot of people there who have their favorite race calls of all time. This race call from Tom Durkin in the 1987 Breeders' Cup Classic, the two Derby winners hit the wire together. My favorite Breeders' Cup race call of all time.
Really? That's cool. I mean, that was a great race. It was a very enjoyable race to watch. Judge Angelucci, that brought back some memories. Tom Gentry's horse.
Yeah. I mean, even the horses behind him, Candy's Gold in the race, Judge Angelucci in the race, a phenomenal field in 1987. And you have the 86 and 87 Kentucky Derby winners, as Tom Durkin said, hitting the wire together. And it was Ferdinand and Bill Shoemaker getting the better of Ali Sheba and Chris McCarron in the Breeders' Cup Classic that year. The second of the runnings at Hollywood Park, of course, they had the inaugural running in 84. We're right back there 3 years later in 1987. Welcome back, Bobby Newman and Jude Feld, here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms, as we're overlooking the beautiful track here at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, facing the track really directly between the 16th pole and the wire. And we've seen a couple of big names come out in the last few minutes, Jude. We saw Nick's Go, one of a couple Brad Cox hopefuls in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic, parading in front of us. He backtracked, basically stopped almost right in front of us, and then turned around and headed off on a gallop. We saw the great race mare Latruska in a little bit of a two-minute lick as she made her way around the track. Nick's Go is just a big, powerful looking son of a gun.
Yeah, he looked really good this morning. They had to wait till the fog cleared, because otherwise we would have never seen him. So
He's certainly easy to spot now when the weather is getting a little bit better. By the way, I want to remind everybody that Fasic Tipton is having their big November sale coming up next Tuesday, so just 6 days from now. And as always, there are Breeders' Cup connections involved in the November sale at Fasic Tipton. In fact, there are six runners in this year's Breeders' Cup races who you can purchase next Tuesday in the November sale. She Dares the Devil, who is going to be a major player in the distaff this Saturday. She'll be offered up in the sale. Proud Emma, Going to Vegas, Queen Supreme, Caravelle, Kamari, just a few of the Breeders' Cup contenders that have Phasic Tipton connections. They will be in that November sale next Tuesday over at Phasic Tipton. Folks, horse racing's world championships are here. You can bet the Breeders' Cup risk-free with TVG. That's right, new TVG players can get started with a risk-free bet up to $300. That means you'll get up to $300 back if your horse doesn't win. The TVG app is so easy to use, gives you all the tools you need. You get the access to free picks, analysis, and wagering advice from industry experts. Breeders' Cup takes place Friday and Saturday, so now is the perfect time to give TVG a shot. Sign up with the promo code HRRN for your chance to bet risk-free up to $300. That's promo code HRRN. Place your first win bet risk-free exclusively on TVG.com/HRRN and the TVG app. Reminder, age, residency, and other eligibility restrictions apply. New users only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires after 30 days. See terms at TVG.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll be joined by jockey John Velasquez. He's going to be busy man both Friday and Saturday, riding, well, just about every one of the Breeders' Cup races. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms on HRRN.
Airdrie Studs Complexity, one of 2021's hottest new sires. Book full immediately in his first year at stud. The blazingly fast son and McLean's Music showed he was amongst his generation's most gifted runners when taking the Grade 1 Champagne Stakes at 2 in 134 and 3.
And Complexity's going to go every step of the way to win the champagne.
As a three-year-old, his 110 buyer speed figure when taking the Grade 2 Kelso Handicap was outpaced only by Horse of the Year Authentic's Breeders' Cup Classic of any race at a mile or more in 2020.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Nick Sallusto is your source for proving Grade 1 success at every level. Nick's full-service equine management company includes Thorough Stock Training Center in Morriston, Florida, launching the career of Grade 1 winner Bella Sophia, and Sallusto and Albina Bloodstock, specializing in sales representation, breeding, and private purchases, including Kentucky Derby winner Big Brown, champion Caledonia Road, Grade 1 winners Mind Control, Arclo, Beach Patrol, and Violence, along with undefeated Greatest Stakes winner Cantharos. For more information, visit ThoroughStock.com. That's ThoroStock.com.
Don't miss the Equine Forum every Saturday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on HRRN. Mike Pena brings you the latest in thoroughbred racing, featuring interviews with trainers, jockeys, owners, and other racing insiders. Plus, exclusive segments you won't hear anywhere else, like In the Room with Sean Clancy, A Stroll Through Racing History with Kurt Becker, and I Ask, They Answer with Tim Wilkin and Dale Romans. The Equine Forum, the show that launched a network. Saturdays, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 and streaming at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is jockey Drayden Van Dyke. You're listening to HRRN.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
They are coming to the top of the lane and obviously now tries to shake loose up front. Obviously the leader by two, but Wise Dan now hooks off the rail in the gold cap. Obviously he's got to find more because Wise Dan's taken dead aim on him. Mr. Commons running a big one along the inside. Acceleration getting involved late as well. Obviously, but Wise Dan now in full flight for the wire. And Wise Dan strikes the front, sticks his neck out. He wanted to win today, and win it he will. Wise Dan, super impressive Breeders' Cup mile. Wise Dan won it. Animal Kingdom, like a rocket, will be in a photo with Acceleration, and obviously for that second spot.
Trevor Demmon on the call of the 2012 Breeders' Cup Mile, won impressively by Wise Dan, ridden by John Velasquez that year. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms, Bobby Newman and Jude Feld. Pleased to be joined now by Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez. And, John, you're going to be a busy man both Friday and Saturday. It seems like your agent, Ron Anderson, is not giving you a break.
Yeah, it seems like that. That's okay. You know, these big days, racing, that's the way, you know, we work for it and look forward to, you know, to ride this kind of races. And you know, you hope that the horses run well and hopefully to win a couple of races as well.
How's the energy level all day? I mean, does it get to be a grind, or do you just, like, you're so excited to go to the next race?
You know, the excitement of riding this race is kind of keep you going, though. You know what I mean? It's a big day, really important for all of us. And like I said, though, you know, this is what we do, you know, for our living. And the excitement is there, though. You know, if you don't get excited for it, and prepare for these days, and you better not do this then.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
what I mean?
We know you're prepared,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Plan A, B, C, and D. I'm dying to hear what they are. But you know, I mean, you've come such a long way from a kid in Puerto Rico. And I remember going to the races in Puerto Rico and seeing your picture on the wall of the racetrack. And I thought, wow, that's so cool.
You know? I've been one of those blessed kids, you know, coming from Puerto Rico and from the streets of Puerto Rico and coming to New York and being blessed, you know, to ride with the riders that I rode. He might be not, but he'll be close to the lead, but I'm not taking a hold of him because then I'll take what his power is, though, you know. So if somebody needs to go faster, they need to go faster than him, but he's still in a certain rhythm that he normally is. And he has proven that when he's in a good rhythm, he can go, you know, the distance and fight on. So, and that's the thing with him. I think the key that we learned from him, the first time I rode him, you know, kind of came out of the gate and tried to hold him, tried to rate him, and it didn't work for us. Although, you know, the two horses that beat him, obviously, Life is Good, I think it was. He went on running really fast, kept running. The other horse came from the grass from 7/8, whatever it was, and ran the race of his life, though, you know, first time on the dirt. But again, you know, so after that race, I told Babs, I mean, this horse is better than you think, though. You know, I keep telling him this horse is a much better horse, so I think we're going to have to ride him differently, though. You know, where he's free running, put him into his own stride that he's going to fight, though. You know, every time the horses come to him, he fights. So I told him, man, this horse has a big heart, though, you know. And then Delby came in, and I said to him, it's like, we need to meet Jeff Ruby, because the year before, we won with Authentic, and that's where we met, and we planned, and we did all this thing to, you know, with Authentic. So we got to do the same thing. It's like, Johnny, you know what? Just do what you need to do. Don't worry about it. You know, I think he's an okay horse. No, Bob, I need your blessing.
So basically what you're saying is Bob didn't want to have dinner with you that night.
Like, I need your blessing. If I do something that you don't like, I don't want to be fired. So I wanted the blessing that you're going to let me do the things. And then we talked about it. You know, the same horse that was here, and I forgot his name of the horse, but believe me, guys, so it's like that was here. So that's the only horse that might be, I'll break me, I will be in front of me, but I think I'm going to make him go fast. He said, you know what, Johnny, that horse doesn't break really good, so go and do your thing. I said, so I'm okay to come out running and go to the first, you know, to the wire, come and run and get him to a good position on the lead. And if he breaks, he wants to go faster, then I let him go. But I'm not taking hold of my horse. Like, Johnny, don't worry about it. Ride your race. Don't worry. It's like, okay. So end up, you know, broke well, got to, you know, to the lead pretty easy, got to where he was comfortable and going fast enough, but easy enough that he was on a comfortable pace. And that's the way I'm trying to think. This race, though, you know, I'm going to come out running. You know, I'm going to pass the wire for the first time where he's comfortable, where he gets his free running. And once he gets into that point, I leave him alone. And if the other horse passes him, you know, so be it. So I think he's a fighter anyway. So he's not a horse that needs to be on the lead. He just happened to be a free running. So that's my plan with him. Then again, I have to talk to Bob. Have his blessing. The same thing, you know, that we're going to let him do what he's comfortable, you know, what his power is, you know, what his momentum and rhythm is. So, and hopefully we can do that.
It was interesting this morning watching him train at the same time that Hot Rod Charlie was training, because Hot Rod Charlie is big, powerful. He almost looks like a Clydesdale coming down the street. And Medina Spirit was, like, very gentle and relaxed, and he was just like kind of hobby,
yeah, not that big,
yeah, you know? He's kind of like, hobby, yeah, horsing around there, just like really happy, you know. And then here comes Hot Rod Charlie, like, boom, boom, boom. You know, like a
track. Progressive,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah, like two really good horses. Yes. Maybe the best in the race. And you know, just like totally different style.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And two good horses. I mean, Hard Rod Charlie, I mean, he seems like he's speaking now too at the right time. He's gotten better every race. So, yeah, he's definitely a horse to beat, though, you know. So
the three-year-olds seem like they've caught up to the older horses. They didn't, when they were really prepping for the Derby and the Triple Crown races, they didn't look like they were nearly as fast as a horse like Nick's Go if he ran his good race. But Essential Quality and Medina yeah. Spirit and Hot exactly. Rod Charlie have taken mm-hmm. gigantic steps forward, and they're all looking like they're hitting the Breeders' Cup at the right time. One of the fillies you ride.
And that note, I'm just want to say, you know, so I don't know why, I mean, how good all these 3 year olds are, right? And Medina Spirit beat them on Kentucky Derby, though. I don't know why is it that people have not caught up with him and not believe in the horse. He had to come back and win a great one with the older horses and maybe gets people to believe on the horse, though, you know. So I always believe on him, so, you know, it's nothing but...
Well, there's a lot of outside things going yeah. on that yeah. people...
You have been yeah. so effusive in your praise for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, after you get off him and, you know, the press interviews you and all, you've always been a fan of Medina Spirit.
I was a fan. I didn't win on him yet, and I was telling Bob, I love this horse. This horse is a little hard, and this horse is going to be much better, though, you know. So I believed in him. So that's why... You know, when you believe in a horse and it gives you, and then obviously it goes to the Derby, wins, comes back and finished third, you know, after the Derby. I thought he'd run a great race, but the Derby was a really hard race on him. The two horses, one was a fresh horse, the other horse was second, run a horrible race in the Derby. So he didn't run hard at all, though, you know. So I said, you know, sometimes those horses run really hard. It's really hard to just come back in 2 weeks and repeat the races, though, right. you know. But I still believe in it and come back again after a little layoff, come back and win. So believe it in a horse and giving you what he's done after that. I mean, and look at what Hard Rod Charlie has done and the other horse, Golovkin has done. You know, it was a really hard Derby, and look at where they are now in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
It's really a testament yeah. to their trainers and the whole crew at keeping them, not only keeping them at their peak, continuing the progression throughout the rest of the year. And speaking with jockey John Velasquez, who's going to ride Medina Spirit in the Classic, you ride another fighter in Malathat in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. She's another one who looks like she likes to get into a tussle. Doesn't have the same kind of natural speed that Medina Spirit does, but she's got grit. A mare that you ride that doesn't seem to ever have, or a filly you ride that she hasn't found a fight in a long time is Gamin. She's just the king, you know. She's the monster on the block, and they're all the, you know, the little underlings. It seems like in a lot of her races, she's winning by 2, by 10, by 2, by 5, by 6, and now you're going to be in a field of 5 now with a scratch yesterday of Estilo Talentoso. She's just a 5-horse field in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. Is it any different riding a filly like this, who, let's face it, the entire world expects her to win?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the only thing is 5 horses, and it's 2 really speed horses, though. You know what? We have the horse for Rui Rodriguez outside of us, and she's speed. He says that he's going to test our speed, though, you know. So let's see how fast can we go and where we finish. So I said to him, so, well, you know what? A lot of people have tried that, and they have finished nowhere. So, so they had tried that.
So you like that plan
yeah.
for him?
I was like, yeah. So look what you had to do, and hopefully we don't kill each other for somebody else. But, you know, a lot of people have done that, though. You know, they had tested it where they go in 21 and 44, they go 23 and 47, and every distance that she's run, whether she goes fast or she goes slow, no, she shows up, though. You know what I mean? So if they let her go slow, she goes slow. If she goes, you press it to go fast, she's going to go fast, you know, and that's the way she does things. And again, that's a horse that I'm not going to take away what she does easy. So if he needs to go faster, he needs to go faster than my horse, though.
Right.
So that's the way I play with her. So it's not a horse I'm going to be grabbing it to try to get it back, because it's not her power. So her power is a come to speed that she goes fast, yeah.
Well, John, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us. You're going to be a busy man Friday and Saturday. In fact, you're busy all week. I see that you're riding today and tomorrow.
Yes.
That Ronnie Anderson guy, man, he really works you hard.
Yeah. No wonder he walks around with a big smile on his face all the time. He just sits there with a cigar in his mouth, and he watches John and Joel go by, and waves to him in the winner's circle, things like that. No, we're just joking. But you're riding 4 horses on Friday. You're riding 7 Breeders' Cup races on Saturday. And, of course, some of the biggest names in the sport, and we mentioned Malathat, Medina Spirit, and Gamine. You're also riding Pinehurst on Friday. You're riding following C Saturday, good-looking Todd Pletcher trainee who could be any sort. United, you're picking up that one for Dick Mandela and the turf. He's a veteran. He seems to dance every dance, and he loves it here at Del Mar. Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
All right, John Velasquez is going to be a busy man at Del Mar all week, not only riding a lot of the Breeders' Cup races Friday and Saturday, but riding today and tomorrow. Of course, today is opening day for the Bing Crosby meet here at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, and he took time out of his busy schedule to join us this morning. We're going to take our final break, come back for a closing shot. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Of Giants Causeway has sired six millionaires, including Claiborne Farm stallion Lee. Recent top runners include graded stakes winner Plum Ali.
But it's going to be Plum Ali, and she's now 3-for-3.
Sharp Samurai, international star Shivaji, and Birdie Queen, plus these standout performers. In the ring, his yearlings sold up to $260,000. First Samurai, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Denali Stud is a perennial leading consigner with three decades of raising and selling Saturday afternoon horses.
Malathon, search results, undefeated fillies, 1-2 down to the wire. Who's going to win it? It's Malathon by a neck.
Idle perfectly timed. Idle gets up under Joel Rosario to win the big gap.
Denali sold Kentucky Oaks winner and leading distaff contender Malathon and fold raised and sold Breeders' Cup Classic contender Idle. Denali Stud, where attention to detail is standard.
Vino Rosso, the most accomplished racehorse by leading sire Curlin. An undefeated two-year-old and major Kentucky Derby prep race winner as a three-year-old, multiple Grade 1 winner Vino Rosso won the Eclipse Award for Older Dirt Male at 4 after a dominant victory in the 2019 Breeders' Cup Classic, just like his sire Curlin a dozen years prior.
And it's a vintage performance by Vino Rosso!
Look for the highly anticipated first crop of weanlings selling in November by champion Vino Rosso, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Black Tie Affair. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
Hi, this is jockey Umberto Rispoli, and you're listening to HRRN.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
Yeah. Just push through it. We're right at the end. So.
Back here for a parting shot, if you will, here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms. Want to let everybody know what's going on the rest of the week here on HRRN. Of course, we'll have race day presented by Twin Spires later today from 3 to 6 Eastern time. We'll be covering live action from opening day here at Del Mar, as well as Churchill Downs and Indiana Grand. So don't join Dave Freeman and me for a great day of racing action. In fact, we'll be joined by Brad Cox during race day this afternoon and talk to him about his Breeders' Cup runners, and especially having two horses in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic, both Nick's Go and Essential Quality. Brad Cox will probably join us in the first of the 3 hours on race day today. And then, of course, Fasig Tipton presents Trainer Talk from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern time tonight and every Wednesday night. We'll be back for our third of three Breeders' Cup Countdown shows tomorrow, Jude, presented by Hillendale Farms. Once again, 8 to 10 a.m. live Pacific time from the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the East Coast, and another great cast of characters going to join us tomorrow.
Yeah, it's been fun being here every morning, watching the horses go and talking to the guests. And I love the lead-in shows. They're the most fun that we have, I think.
We're going to have Dick Mandela, who's got several runners both Friday and Saturday, joining us tomorrow. Richard Baltus is going to send out two Breeders' Cup runners on Saturday. Bob Nastanovich, our international racing aficionado, going to talk about a lot of the European contingent going to be running this year as well. Conrad Banderoff from Denali Stud, is going to join us. They've got ties to the Breeders' Cup. In fact, Malathat went through their program and sold for over $1 million as a yearling. Owner George Krikorian is going to send out one of the ones to beat in the filly and mare turf, Warlike Goddess, who seems to never lose these days. Warlike Goddess going for owner George Krikorian, and Ed Toffee, GM of Spendthrift Farm, will be on to join us as well. Their stallions represented by 8 runners in the Breeders' Cup this Friday and Saturday. Jude, as we're winding down, just want to say we've had great weather thus far. It's supposed to get even better for the rest of the week. Looking forward to another great show tomorrow. On behalf of our producers, Lee Delapina and Sean C., my co-host Jude Feld, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back once again tomorrow on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hill & Dale, 8 to 10 a.m. Pacific time, here from the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club.